still got to deal with what this other person has done. Even if I was that person on Closer, I still had to figure out what the guts of the thing was and try and keep that alive in a different medium. But Closer was kind of easier to do because Mike Nichols wanted it to be like the play. I was the one going, well, why don't I rip up the play and write something based on it? And he said, no, I want to do the play. That's the point. So that was very easy because it was a very clear, coherent brief from him, whereas this could have gone in any number of different directions. But I had Scott Rudin giving me many notes on the notes. I had help.
How long was the process?
We shot the 12th draft.
Do you write fast?
I needed to. I think very slowly and I write pretty fast. So I guess I spent a year making notes. And then I probably wrote the screenplay in about 3 months. That was the first draft. And then over a period of... I think I handed the script in early January of 2005. And we shot the film summer of 2005. So then I wrote another 11 drafts over a six-month period.
And how did the script change in all those drafts?
I'm just going to take a sip of water. The first draft I handed in, I began at the end, and I began with a near-suicidal Sheba kind of on the top of a cliff for some reason. And then flashback to Sheba in Barbara's apartment and sort of had her find the diary at the beginning of the film and had the diary, as it were, narrate the film. So you knew that something awful had happened, but you didn't quite know what. So that was my way in originally. And then I kind of thought, no, I need to do something much simpler than that. It was too tricky, and so we just began at the beginning and ended at the end. So it was a possibly less ambitious shape in the end, but I think it serves the story better.
Do you think it's better?
Yeah, I do. I think it would have been... I think it's good not to know what's going to become of Sheba, because in the end, Barbara's not going to change. It's not in her nature to change. Sheba's the one who goes on the greater journey in this story. So yeah, I think we had to begin with this charming woman who arrives at the school and is a bit out of place, and see her get torn apart by her interaction with Barbara. That became the story. So I think we got it right in that respect.
I somehow I think expected prior to seeing the trailers for the film. The trailers give a good indication of the energy of the feature. But I somehow expected when I first heard of it that it would be perhaps a bit more tidy, restrained, English.
Yes.
You know, this has a ferocious energy to it.
Yes.
Emotional energy.
Yes. It could have been a very English, dowdy, kind of grey English drizzle. be very worthy and win a little prize at a regional film festival, and no one would have ever seen it. And I think Scott's vision of it was for it to have a kind of Almodovar type energy, and for me to start thinking of the material out of the sort of English box and make it feel more like a continental film with a bigger beating heart to it, and a sort of he was always talking about the pulse of the film needs to be bigger, ramp up the emotional energy, and yeah, he encouraged me and Richard to not think of it as that was his nightmare, was that we'd make a worthy English film, because he always felt it had serious box office potential. He felt if we got it right, this could be a film that could appeal to a kind of art house audience and to a, you know, the multiplex audience.
People like Fatal Attraction.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, why not? You know, though it's not, obviously it's not as, it doesn't have as much grand guignol as a Fatal Attraction. But, you know, there was a joke during the shoot that we were making single old white female. Assistant, with respect to you, single older white female. But yeah, it was kind of, it took a while for that vision of it to cohere and for us all to, you know, Scott really drove that, I have to say. He had this notion of the material as being something quite other. And I think for an American audience, the English landscape of it is strangely exotic. It isn't for me, but I can see in the response to the film that these strange lives, this strange school, this kind of weird North Londonness is quite interesting in a way that whenever I see a film set in the States, it has some kind of power and hold over me that my friends in New York don't feel. They just go, well, that's just where we live. But
is this supposed to be taking place in Hampstead or Camden Town?
Yeah, it's an area of London. It's an area called Archway, which is sort of nowhere. It's below Highgate, to the right of Hampstead, somewhere near a place called Crouch End and Hornsey. I mean, they're places no tourist would ever go to. Maybe they will now. But it's a kind of nondescript part of North London, not quite the suburbs, not quite the inner city. It's a place between places, I guess. There's some of it is set in Hampstead. The opening shot, that view over London, is at a place called Parliament Hill, and we made that Barbara's special place. Mm. And that's quite a famous bench. I mean, a lot of people go and sit there and contemplate life.
You said that Scott Rudin's talk about an Almodovar type energy. Did anybody speak to you about the poster resembling Talk to Her?
No one ever spoke to me, but obviously it does. I mean, the colouring and the, you know. So I guess that must have been part of some kind of marketing conversation that they wouldn't have concerned me with. But I like the poster. I like the sort of fire of it. And the. I didn't like it at first. I thought Judy looked a bit too diabolical, but I've come to love it.
Peter said he created you as the playwright.
Richard Eyre was, yeah, he was the guy who produced my first two plays at the National Theatre.
Peter Eyre was his brother, who I keep mixing. No, he's not his brother, but I work with Peter.
Right.
Pardon me.
Peter Eyre is a wonderful actor.
Yes.
Yeah, Richard produced my first two plays. He gave me my break, really. My first play was done in 95, and I was 30, and he asked me to put it on. It was my debut play, and he asked me to direct it at the National. You know, it was a big deal. Took a big risk.
Did you contemplate a life as a playwright?
Well, I was a comedian at the time. I was a
comedian.
Yeah, I was a stand-up comic. I wrote sketches and did, you know, little character comedy pieces on TV with a guy called Steve Coogan, who was now
gay. Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, he was my comedy buddy, and we worked together for years. And I wrote a lot of his material for him.
So how do you get from that to Closer Asylum, you know, where it seems to be the...
Well, because I wrote this play, Dealer's Choice, which was a play about poker. And so, really, over a period of 2 years, I went from being a comedy writer to being a playwright.
The themes that you seem to deal with have a lot to do with obsession, sex.
Yeah.
Is that something that you naturally gravitate towards now, or do you think
it seems to be the case. I mean, I can't deny it. I mean, you know, that's obviously what I seem to be interested in, but it amazes me that I am. But it seems to be a subject of mine. But I'm about to start writing a screenplay with my first ever contented protagonist. Never done that before. It'd be a big challenge. I'm doing it in McEwan's novel Saturday for Scott Rudin. And the guy at the centre of that is a very happy chap. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
So why take on another adaptation, or do you have another original
film? I think I'd like to write an original film, but I don't have many ideas, and the original ideas I have tend to go into plays rather than screenplays, and I think that's because, you know, as a screenwriter, your work's going to get... It's never going to end up being completely yours. The collaboration of film is so intense that I prefer to save my original ideas for the stage, where I know I'm going to get exactly what I wrote put out there.
And do you have a play coming up?
I've got a play on in London at the moment, which is an adaptation, funnily enough. It's a version of Molière's Don Juan, It's called Don Juan in Soho, and it's set now. It's got Risa Vance playing Don Juan. I recommend it to you. You should come to London. He's giving this amazing performance.
When you adapt a novel, do you actually speak to the original author? Is there any kind
Very much so. I pride myself on having maintained good relations with all. She likes it. I did a Q&A with her last night. I mean, she's fronting up for the film. She's out there. We met in New York in 2003 to first talk about this when I was first offered it. Zoe Heller is married to a screenwriter, is the daughter of a famous screenwriter, Lucas Heller, who wrote Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, among other things. And so she knows all about what screenwriters do, and she definitely didn't want to adapt this novel. That was my first question to her, because I want to use the novelist as a resource all the way through the process. And so it's been one of the nice things about this job, is becoming pals with her.
Did she have some sort of final approval on anything?
No. She had no approval. She just said, look, if you want to send it to me and hear my notes, then do, and if you don't. And I did, and she gave her notes, and they were incredibly useful. And she came and visited on set, and she's in the EPK, you know, she's part of this whole thing. Me, Richard, and her went to LA and, you know, junketed, and she's very much involved. The book is different from the film. She knows that, I know that, but they're friends with each other. In the same way that Closer the play and Closer the film are very different beasts, but, you know, they would shake hands quite amiably.
And they're closer, no pun intended, than this book and the film are. Closer.
The film and the play?
Yeah. There are many lines of dialogue, obviously. Same
sure.
Culture.
Yeah, but yes and no. Different ending. An ending that I wrote, approved of, was perfectly happy with. And it's Mike's vision of my piece. And that's what I wanted. I was always encouraging him. Make your film. Don't stop honouring me. He was very, very... because he's Mike, and he loves writers. He was always at pains to ask me, what's this about? What's the meaning of this? What do you feel about this? And I'd tell him, and I'd say, but I want you, you know, the reason I've sold it to you is I want your take on my material.
But nonetheless, you're actually on set most of the time, right?
On Closer?
No,
I was on set more, I would say, with Notes on a Scandal and Closer. I was on set a lot for both. I mean, but I've been very lucky. Both films I was treated as a first-class citizen.
So when you're watching a performance, do you ever think, oh God, that just doesn't sound right? I
sure.
Change that right
oh, yeah, now. Yeah. Mike would say, does that suck? And I say, I'm afraid it does. Yeah. Can we do it again? Sure. Absolutely. But I was working with two directors who come from the theatre, are used to having a writer by their side. Both Richard and Mike, you know, like having the writer around and would encourage my opinions for good or ill. And occasionally they'd say, all right, enough, shut up, let me get on with it. But I would expect that. And it's good, it's all part of the process. But yeah, they wanted to know what I thought.
As a gay writer myself, I don't know, FYI, there's very little material out there for lesbian women, mm-hmm. and this is certainly a big one.
mm-hmm.
What has the response been from the gay female community so far? Or haven't you had any yet?
I don't know what the response is. I don't really read the reviews, so I don't quite know what's out there. I'm aware that, generally speaking, people are liking the film and that gay publications are interested in it, and I've done interviews to gay press. And, you know, we want all people to come and see the film, but of course, yeah, we're marketing to a gay audience, absolutely.
Why did you choose to make
it? Does that answer the question?
Well, I know what gay men will think of it, which is they would like it like I did.
So.
But what
yeah.
gay women think is something else again, is seeing themselves reflected
well,
in such a negative way.
I don't think they're reflected in a negative way.
They may think so, but I don't know.
Some
I'm
might,
not a lesbian, so I
some
can't
might,
say.
Some might not. Some might find Barbara's feistiness, her wit, her endurance, both moving and funny. I do.
Well, working for years on gay and lesbian publications, I can never second-guess what a lesbian is going to think about anything.
Sure.
So I don't want to speak for gay women.
Just last question.
I was just wondering why you chose to make it more explicitly sort of gay theme than the novel was, you know.
I didn't choose to make it more explicit. I just think the medium makes it more explicit. The example I often cite is the scene where Barbara strokes Sheba's arms. It's in the book. I didn't invent that. There's a scene where Barbara says, you know, at school we used to do this and could I? And it's this very uncomfortable moment in the book. And you read it, it's a page long, and as the screenwriter, I thought, oh, I want that in the film. And then you see it up there on the screen, 20 feet by 10 feet, and it's a huge event in the film. Because film literalizes something that prose suggests, and it becomes it's one of the central moments in the film. It's Barbara taking her due on some level. We have this secret. I sort of own you now. If I want to stroke you, I will stroke you. But 1 second later, everything is blown out of the water because she discovers what Sheba's really about. So it became a key thing. But I don't think it was a conscious decision to go, oh, let's make Barbara more explicitly lesbian. It was just film manifests what prose suggests.
Okay.
I don't mind. I'll answer a question from Mr. Wells.
How would you describe your style of stand-up comedy, and how successful were you at your brief run at it?
Very different to the writer I've become. I wasn't a bad stand-up comedian. I got by, and I was in work regularly for 4 or 5 years. I earned a living. But I was sort of in character, and I think the thing I learned as a stand-up was it wasn't my natural thing. I never found my persona properly. Whereas as a writer, I think I know exactly who I am and what I'm about. As a stand-up, I was like a kind of Steve Martin rip-off. I was kind of playful, stupid, absurd, nothing like what I am. A very, very extrovert, eccentric version of my own inner life, I would say, is what I was. And I've always felt uncomfortable, you know, having to assume that persona, because I knew it wasn't really me, it was some exaggerated me. Whereas as a writer, I feel weirdly, by being in disguise as all these other people, I'm more myself.